Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Lots of opinions coming the way on the text line as regarding to tipping.
Yeah, lots of stuff. Real quick, Chris from Clarksville. Need to tip on takeout, or did he say no need? Does he mean no need? I don't know. He says need to tip on takeout. The server has to account to IRS for a minimum of total sales for taxes. So even if they get under tip, the IRS auto assumes they get a specific percentage. So if you don't tip on takeout, it goes against their sales. A lot of other people are saying 0% on takeout, 20% on delivery, you know, 20% on haircut. Okay, I hadn't heard that. I guess 20% is kind of standard for a lot of things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I struggle with 0% on takeout, but –
Most times 0%.
Most times 0%. Yeah.
Are you? I mean, I'm going to the store and doing it. So
yeah. But I mean, also like cooks get tipped out and stuff, you know, from tips.
Well, listen, then you got like DoorDash and Uber Eats, and that's a whole nother level of it too.
Yeah.
I never know the
tip
on that.
So when you pay $39 for a coffee, is it also like, is there four of that as a tip, or is that just for your coffee?
Well, listen, it's just great when you
212-ounce coffee coming in the door.
When you also get the coffee, it's great, because then Katie Rexroad just Venmo'd me.
See, the Venmo comes into play. Caleb from Gallatin says, I do landscaping. We don't work on tips or even ask for them. Sometimes a person will come out and give one just because, and we'll gladly, well, that's great.
Sure.
No, I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, it's just, to me, it's like, I guess it's a little even more like, especially if it's a like your own business, like you should just, whatever
just
you want to get
price.
Paid.
I've never even heard of that.
Here's the pay. Yeah. No, yeah. No, there are definitely people who are like, and you know, we like tips too. Huh? Well, just tell me,
what's the price?
Just tell me the price.
Yeah. Wow. 615-737-1025. Jeff texting in earlier on the Titans. Says, honestly, how did Titans scouts continue to miss these big issues on these early draft choices? Referring to Treylon Burks not being able to be on the field much so far throughout OTAs and minicamp as well. Joe, how big of a concern is that to you that we've now gone, obviously, three different situations, but to three first-round picks in a row with Isaiah Wilson and all the issues that came with that, Caleb Farley being hurt, and some other teams around the league apparently just staying away from him because of the medicals that they ran him, and now the Treylon Burks saga that continues to unfold. How concerning is that to you that the Titans seem to continually miss some of these issues and have some with their first-round picks?
Well, it would be, if the Burks thing ends up being, you know, a real problem, and that's it, and it goes back to he can't be in shape or whatever, and then, yeah, it's an incredibly bad run, if that's the case. There's a long way to go before that's the thing. And I still think you have to give someone a little bit of time to get in the league, figure out what it takes. Obviously, he figured out what it took at Arkansas last year to be a dominant receiver in the best college football conference. So, and his coach talked about that and figuring some things out. Got to give a little, like, to me, it's a big difference between the medicals, where some teams are like, oh my gosh, I'm not touching that guy, to, yeah, he wasn't that impressive, wasn't in the best shape. Some teams didn't like that. I understand now how it looks because he missed so much of the spring, but it's still a big difference to me. And then you go back. Look, again, I think they're all different situations. Said it before, we'll say it again. The Isaiah Wilson red flags were very minimal. There was like this one workout, and I don't even remember the exact specifics of the one workout where he was late or something like that, but you know, a little bit of immaturity, but okay. There's plenty of 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds where there's a little bit of immaturity to work out. Like Isaiah Wilson was a totally at post-draft disaster, but they didn't really, based on the information I've had, they didn't really like miss all these huge red flags. Burks, I wouldn't call that either. Farley is just that's a different deal. Farley is, you have your own medical people, and remember, it was limited still that draft compared to like what it is in a normal year. Not to make an excuse for them, I'm just saying, Like, you had to know going in that you may not have the best grasp. That, really, that could be a reason to not go with a Farley in a year like that, right? Because it's like the way they were sharing information and everything, you didn't have the personal contact you have in a normal year. But, as I say, all these things and go with each one, when you add it all together, it's like, can you just have one first-round pick where it's like, yep, everything's good and yay, and it works out perfectly right away. Snap your fingers.
Well, that's the thing. It's been 3 years in a row where there's been some sort of issue. Yeah. And I get it. I agree with you. Like, they're three totally different situations, but it's 3 years in a row with a first-round pick where there's something that's not going to plan. Like, Isaiah Wilson speaks for itself and how much of a disaster that was. You know, Caleb Farley tore his ACL. It's not like, you know, you could see a torn ACL coming, but the medical is what it is with Caleb Farley, and there were some teams that went on record. Now, they did this after the draft and said that they wouldn't have touched Caleb Farley. So we talked about that at the time, too. Like, okay, it's easy to say that stuff after the draft, too, when somebody else has taken the player. And who knows who those people were? Like, was it Chris Ballard? Never touched Caleb Farley. My goodness. No, he wasn't even on our board.
That GM should be fired, whoever that is.
Yeah. So you could take those things with a grain of salt, too. I understand that. But the bottom line is, one of the things that we talked about in the pre-draft process this year was, man, I'd really like to get through the first-round pick this year and for there to not be any issues. You're on the field, you're available, you play, and it is what it is. Now, are you good? We'll find out. But I would like for there to not be any issues. And I'm not saying that Treylon Burks is going to be some big issue moving forward, but it has been so far, and it's 3 years in a row where there's been something with your draft pick in the first round.
The wild thing is there was no talk of this right after they picked him.
Yeah.
I mean, the Breer stuff came out after he had missed some time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he even wrote that at the time, did he? He didn't write that going into the draft.
I don't think so.
So it's like, The only issue, but the issue was, you know, trade A.J. Brown. So there's like something has to, you know. Farley was just the issue on its own. Actually, though, if you want to go back, it's really four straight drafts where Simmons, you know, ACL, and there was the question of Simmons and the incident, you know, in high school. Isaiah Wilson, you know, obviously Farley. And now Burks, the big controversy with Burks was just the fact that, oh, and A.J. Brown's gone, and this is now your replacement. But it turns out that there was some stuff. They just badly need one to break their way. Farley could still end up being a good player.
Sure.
Simmons
well, so could
turned
Burks.
Out to be a great
yeah.
player. Burks, yeah, of course. No, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, like, it still could end up that it's just Isaiah Wilson on an island of a disastrous turnout and all-time bust for the Titans in the first round and whatever it is. He could be totally on an island, you know. But right now, not knowing about Farley and then this uncertainty and the bad start for Burks, it's easy to look at it all and say, it's like I understand the question in the text line. I totally do. Like the scouting department, are they missing things? And with Farley, I do believe that there's some teams that wouldn't. Some teams are very hardline on that stuff. It's just a different philosophy. But you know what? Some teams are probably hardline enough to not touch Simmons 3 years ago, and that can work out for you to get a value pick that way. We'll see if Farley turns out to be a value pick.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Are you concerned of the Titans scouting department and how they view draft picks with the first-round track record that they've had as of late? 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, speaking of the text line, people were really upset earlier that you did not know that Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. played together.
It's bad.
Very upset.
They should be. That's bad. No, again, like I told my kid, Like, Brennan showed me a clip. He's like, look, like he caught, apparently, well, they played against each other too. And he caught some, they made some crazy catch on Ken Senior's fly ball. I was like, oh, that must have been like some like charity event or something. I'm pretty sure that Griffey retired before his son. And I'm totally, how did I miss that?
I don't know.
That's just
you
one.
You also
of,
didn't know Giannis had a brother in the league.
That's a thing. Like, I'm kind of dumb, guys. I mean, I hate to break
Are you
this
qualified
to, you.
To continue to do this program?
I mean, I don't know. It's a, you know, just focus on Titans' bad draft picks, okay?
That's right.
You can only focus on so many things at once. Because Jeff did text back and say, Dylan Radins, and yes, of course, that's part of the whole thing, too. High pick.
That's different, though, right?
Just first-round pick. Like, yeah, that's just, like, is he good enough
player? Like, is he good enough to play? Like,
but it's, I mean, I guess, yeah, if you're confining it to red flags you missed, but it's also still just scouting players, yeah. too. And, because, you know, with Caleb Farley, that's going to be interesting, obviously. I think he's got a lot of ability. He's got a chance to be a good corner in the league, but there wasn't a ton even of him as a corner, you know. And with yep. Dylan Radins, you didn't have the playing against the highest level in the trenches. So I don't know if there's like a consistent theme there. If you want to go back to the Isaiah Wilson year, second-round pick from that year is turning out pretty well, I think. I think Christian Fulton last year made that draft instantly better. If Dylan Radins comes out and starts at right tackle this year and is pretty good, then okay. You start to improve that draft. But he's another high pick question mark right now for sure.
Well, and some of it just is it's weighing risk, right? I mean, Dylan Radins coming from a lower level of college football at that position, that's a risk to take a guy like that. We talked about it with Farley when he got drafted. I mean, we were both looking, I think, at Greg Newsom that time. We're like, kind of feels like the safer pick between he and Caleb Farley. Now, Newsom played last year. He was good with the Browns. He started in 11 games, played in 12. He did get hurt towards the end of the year. But, you know, I'm always going to be, to me anyway, I'm going to look at Greg Newsom. I'm going to look at Caleb Farley, and I'm going to say, well, Newsom was there for you. If he ends up having a much better career than Caleb Farley, you look around at John Robinson, you're like,
I mean, if
that one hurts, man.
Like, if you're John Robinson and you could just do something like this, would you just trade straight up? You know, like maybe. If you could go back, just, okay, you can stick with this and hope it works out, and you believe his ceiling's high and he could be a dynamite, or what about Newsom? How about just, would you just take Newsom right now? He'd probably just take Newsom.
Probably, but like, I mean, that's the other part of this too, because Caleb Farley could come out this year and be great, and then you look like a genius at that point. You know, I don't know. I think Greg Newsom's a good player. I don't know that Greg Newsom is ever going to be like this shutdown elite level cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Will Caleb Farley be that? Probably not, statistically right. speaking, but I think the ability is there, at least athletically. And that's why he got drafted where he got drafted.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still.
And he got clocked at like 23 miles an hour in college, didn't he? Caleb Farley?
Caleb Farley. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Would he go on Collinsworth podcast and be like, yeah, I ain't afraid of Tyreek Hill running. That's fine. I'll be all
yeah,
right.
Yeah. 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 He served notice to, to him. Hey. If we ever get like Caleb Farley starting playing at a high level at corner in this league, also on the media side, we'll have some fun with that too. Yeah, he'll be outspoken, but I just that one is a different deal because it's serious injury stuff. This year is well, again, it's tied to the trade, which I have a big problem with, but. I mean, Treylon Burks, really, you can go back and watch him. The guy can play football.
Yeah.
At a very high level. So, it's just, you know, what is the transfer to the NFL from what they did at Arkansas? And how much are you missing? How much did he just miss? How far behind is he? You know, I think everybody could agree, like, camp's really important for him.
Craig on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I think with where the Titans have been drafting, they keep trying to find a guy that slipped for whatever reason instead of just taking a solid player. This is coming from Craig on the text line. You buy into that?
Well, again, I think Simmons counts as a value pick, a guy who, if Simmons didn't blow his knee out during workouts, would he have gone a lot higher than that? I think he probably would have gone. Not that an ACL has to be that big of a deal, but it's a little bit bigger deal for big guys. He did have the off-field thing. So altogether, I'd say that was a value pick. And by the way, pretty good one.
Worked out.
Farley is a value pick too, obviously, but it's more, I mean, it's much more of a health gamble. Back also, by the way, had an ACL before this.
Yep.
So that was just a much bigger. So I think that there's some truth to that, but I don't think that's the, like with Burks, that's not. I mean, the Burks stuff after the fact, and I'm not saying it's definitely something. I mean, it's worth writing about as Breer did, but everything in that report, if you read it, if you think the player is good enough, that wouldn't scare me away from the player. And you have to do your own interviews and all these things. And if you feel good coming out of that, you know, then, okay, he's got to learn how to get in shape. We have great strength and conditioning people. He's going to be in the building. We'll figure that out. That's how I would look at it. But then you have the asthma or whatever, you know, whatever all was part of the formula of keeping him off the field for a lot of the spring. There is that.
Yeah, for sure. And it's one of those things, too, where if Burks comes into training camp and he's good to go and he's on the field and week one comes against the Giants and he's a contributor, like, we're not really talking about this anymore. Caleb Farley's on the field. He's ready to go. Like, there is still a scenario, like you said last segment, where you look back at the draft miscues in quotes for the Titans and it really just ends up being Isaiah Wilson. Like, to me, if you're John Robinson – obviously, that's what you're pulling for at this point. But that's still, I think, you know, even me to some degree, we've just kind of, the draft has run together of, oh, you have Caleb Farley, he's not going to work out. Treylon Burks is having all these issues, Isaiah Wilson. And there is still time for two of those three that we're talking about. Like, one has not even gotten on the field yet in the NFL.
Well, and Dylan Raiden's.
Yeah.
And what if Dylan Raiden is a good starting tackle and Caleb Farley is a good starting corner and Burks comes up. I mean, there's a chance that, Isaiah Wilson could be on an island. But right now where everything is, totally understand people saying, what's going on? You know, what are they missing? What are they doing? I do think there's some value picking. Look, John Robinson signed Bud Dupree, too. Now, I don't know if he got a great value. I mean, he's paid him a lot of money. But there's another guy he went out and got who was coming off a serious injury, and it did not deter John Robinson. So I think that there is some level of mindset of how can you maximize value? I mean, it's like playing the stock market. You know, you buy when they're down or whatever, and then you hope that you get a huge return. It has worked in some cases. It has – well, that's the thing. Isaiah Wilson wasn't that. Isaiah Wilson was just a bad pick or a bad outcome after a pick that I think actually was sensible, like with the information available at the time. Some people will argue with that, but that's what I think.
Well, and, you know, we talk about, everybody jokes about J-Rob not being afraid of the injured guys. You know, everybody was talking about Jameson Williams. Oh, Titans.
Right.
Oh, they'll trade up to get Titans. Him, man. Go get Jameson Williams, which, by the way, if they did that, I'd be like, okay.
Cool. Yes. If you could have gotten him,
But when you look at it, it really hasn't been – I have two thoughts on this. Number one, they really haven't taken that many guys who have huge injury concerns when you break down to it. And number two, it's football. Like, everybody, for the most part, has been injured to some degree playing this sport at a high level.
Right.
It's like, football.
Exactly.
You get hurt.
Well, you got to – right. And even, like, A.J. Brown had no injury history here, right. But he's been hurt here. And they've had some bad luck. I mean, Julio Jones really had been incredibly durable through his career. Then finally, his last year in Atlanta, he finally misses time, and it turns out, well, that continues to linger. I'm very interested to see where he is next year, by the way.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with Julio? So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not – people have pointed to the Corey Davis pick in 17 because he had, like, a broken foot during the – but that was, as far as I know, really his only big injury at that point.
Yeah.
He did –
It's not like he had a ton of foot problems either after that. It was hamstrings and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Nagging stuff. Yeah. But so, I mean, I think it is smart to draft durability if you can find it. If you have a player who's like, wow, he's never really had injury history, I think that's a great thing to draft.
Sure.
That's a good sign. But they've drafted some guys like that too, including, by the way, number 22 in the second round of 2016, Robinson's first draft. That's worked out okay.
I got a texture that says you can't leave out Darrington Evans in this discussion. That is true.
But Darren, well, that's once he got here, yes. Yeah. I don't recall, and I could be forgetting, but I don't recall Darrington Evans, like, injury red flag being part of his draft.
Where's he at? I assume Atlanta. I can't remember. Maybe it's the Bears.
I think you're right, it is the Bears, but how could it not be in Atlanta?
Yeah, I don't know. I just assume everybody that's ever played for the Titans somehow ends up with the Falcons nowadays.
Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Oh, the monster of the Midway. We're forgetting that when we talk about how your Packers may finally be overtaken this year.
By the way, I got back on Facebook yesterday after my 8-day hiatus, boy. And one of the things that I saw, which was like apparently, I don't know if it's a joke from you that you've somehow infiltrated my Facebook, but like one of the videos of like 4U popped up, and it was like, check out Marcus Mariota's top plays at Atlanta Falcons minicamp. I was like, oh yeah, let's look at this. Good throws by Marcus.
Yeah, that I did. I went in there and messed with the calculus there on your Facebook.
He's throwing the ball real well down there.
He's going to be in your face this year. I'm here for it.
That quarterback competition between Desmond Ridder and Mariota is going to be something to watch coming up in a few weeks.
In all seriousness, what was the word on Ridder? Anything out of there?
Yeah. No clue.
He may as well just have a seat.
That's right.
Marcus is here, baby.
Number 8's back. He's going to. Well, I guess he's not number 8.
What is he there?
I don't know. Kyle Pitts is number 8, isn't he?
Well, then Mark, yeah. Marcus probably could have had it, but he's such a good guy and such a good leader that he's not going to take it.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
He's number 1.
Number 1, huh?
He's number 1.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
And number 1 in your heart, Joe.
Yeah, you don't get anybody number 1. Not everybody just gets number 1. What does that tell you? Arthur Smith is about to overtake the NFL with Marcus. I'm here for it.
Boy, it's going to be something to watch coming up here in a few weeks. We'll get back into the Preds coming up next, including some interesting news on Barry Trotz over the weekend. All that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sir, what we're told is that Barry Trotz, his intention is to make his decision on his NHL future around July 1st, and he's indicated that to a few teams. Now, we know, of course, we reported before that he's interviewed with the Winnipeg Jets, he's interviewed with the Detroit Red Wings, among other clubs, for the head coaching jobs. But we're also told that he has chatted with his old NHL club, the Nashville Predators, about a potential management role with the organization, which has always kind of been rumored about Barry Trotz, but it's interesting that that's yet another option for Barry Trotz, potentially.
That was Pierre LeBrun over the weekend, NHL insider for The Athletic and for TSN as well, discussing the future of Barry Trotz, former Nashville Predators head coach, currently a free agent on the market, discussing his options of does he want to keep coaching? Does he want to get back into management? According to Pierre LeBrun, hoping to make a decision sometime around July 1st. It was interesting over the weekend to hear Pierre talk about apparently conversations between him and the Nashville Predators have taken place in terms of maybe coming back in as a management position here with the Preds. So what do you make of that report there from Pierre LeBrun, and what do you make of the idea of Barry Trotz maybe being in a management role here in Nashville?
The word chat, does that mean it's really just sort of checking it out? You know, that's a word.
What does chat mean?
I
mean,
words matter.
I'll say this. If you've ever chatted with Barry Trotz, I've never had a quick conversation with Barry Trotz. They generally take a while.
So a chat with him is it's a long, involved conversation. Yeah.
It's always pleasant, but it's an endeavor.
So I don't know. It's we talked about that as a possibility all the way back when the Islanders did the stupid thing they did.
The morning of game 4, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's just a matter of, I think we know that Barry Trotz is a great coach. I'm sure he could be good in management, right? Yeah, you do this and you coach and you're in the league this long, you know what works, what doesn't work. It makes sense. But some people probably more built for one than the other. Is Barry Trotz going to be as effective in a front office role as he is as a coach? If that's the case, then the Preds should go after him hard.
Yeah.
You know? But it's interesting that he had that conversation. Of course, As I mentioned earlier, getting credit to Michael Gallagher, Nashville Post, for the story from Tuesday when he bought a $1.5 million house.
2,200 square feet.
There's a picture of it.
Guys, he could pull a Brad Stevens.
Maybe.
Yeah, Brad Stevens. Of course, the difference there is he bumped up, you know, just bumped up the same place. Worked out pretty well for them. And I feel like they got I feel like they got more effective coaching with Udoka and Stevens. I'm sure is going to be good in the front office. If he does, if it got to this point of being serious here, is that basically he is like an apprentice to Poyle and becomes Poyle at some point when Poyle retires? Is that the idea? Is that the thinking?
I don't know. You get me thinking about Star Wars now with apprentice thoughts being thrown out there. Sorry, I had to nerd out for a minute.
Apprentice. I'm not following.
You've never seen an apprentice in Star Wars where you have a Jedi master and an apprentice?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just – okay. I wasn't sure if I was forgetting something specific. Like, you know, like the Griffies playing together. Apparently. I got you. Okay. Right. The apprentice idea. So you're trying to say that then Poyle and – Trotz would have a fight to the death?
Maybe. Just Vader and Palpatine all again? Yeah. I've gone really deep in this rabbit hole now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
By the way, do you like the Obi-Wan?
Kenobi's good.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. I haven't started watching it yet, but okay, good. I trust your judgment.
Yeah.
But that's it. Of course, there's also just the interesting dynamic there in that Poyle fired Trotz several years ago. But
yeah.
They've had a good relationship. And it comes down to... If you're Trotz and you want to get into management, you have lived here. Again, they just bought a new house here. Doesn't necessarily mean a thing about what his next job's going to be. You still have that home, which, by the way, I've mapped out. I'm not going to say the address on the air again. I already did today, but I won't do that again. But I know where he is now.
That's good.
Very close to where we ate yesterday. So good to know.
I mean, the thing is, he's front door.
Yeah.
The thing is, he's third all time in the history of the league and wins.
That's wild.
Third in NHL history in wins behind Scotty Bowman and Joel Quenneville. And I wonder, like, is that fire up? By the way, Peter Laviolette's ninth on the all-time list. So the Predators have two coaches in the history of the league in the top 10 in wins.
And the
winningest GM. Is that fire for Barry Trotz, is it done? Like, he's a hockey coach, and he's been a hockey coach nonstop at this level since 1998. I mean, it's a long time to be doing this. Has that fire burned out? You know, does he get into a situation, and I can't imagine Trotz wanting to do this, but does he get into a situation where he goes the management route for a year and then he looks around and says, you know what? I really like coaching. I really miss coaching.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I want to get back into it. Like, that could be, I mean, he's been stewing on this now ever since he got fired by the Islanders. So you're approaching, you know, 2 months, but by the time he makes that decision,
gotta make sure
it could be
done.
What he's thinking about.
You got to make sure you're done coaching, but that's the thing. You can say that, but like you said, you can say, okay, yep, I'm ready to move on, and then you go through a year, you're like, I still have a lot to give in coaching, and I know that there's four teams right now that would hire me. Boom, snap my fingers. Yeah, it's an interesting situation, and I would think that management, I think both jobs, high pressure, public, demanding, but management probably be a little bit less demanding, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that as a coach, you have to, I mean, you got to travel to every game on a daily basis. You are trying to manage this group of young athletes, egos, everything else, trying to put together a lineup, motivate, educate, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Whereas you get into management, and again, I'm not diminishing how tough that job is, but it has to be less grueling.
You would think so. Now, the other part of this is if he decides to go the management route, what does that mean? Is that assistant general manager? Is he in the scouting department? Is there an advisory role that's created for Barry Trotz at that point? Like, what would that mean? Because I would assume, and I don't know this, but my guess is, like, if Barry Trotz wants to get into management, then he wants to get into management, and he wants to be higher up in management would be my guess. So
yeah, it's not like a retirement job,
right?
Where sometimes I'm going to go to the front office, you know, outreach for people, and hey, you know, come to events, and it wouldn't. I don't think that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about nitty gritty, seeing if you can be an effective GM in this league at some point.
Well, and I think in terms of, I mean, he's been around the league for so long now, and he's dealt with so many different types of players that I think he could be really good at helping you identify some talent, and not just, you know, when you traditionally think of this as your younger players, but, you know, looking around the rest of the league. Like, he's been preparing scouting reports for a lot of these guys for a long time. You get in a trade deadline or free agency this year, could be something that you want to take a look at if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators. So I think he could help on a variety of fronts. I just wonder if the coaching bug is gone from Barry Trotz, because, look, he's interviewed with Detroit. He's interviewed with Winnipeg. I think he's been contacted by Philadelphia. Vegas' job is still open. I mean, you could have your pick of, if you're Barry Trotz, of where you wanted to go. I wonder if that itch is satisfied. And if it's not, like, if you're Barry Trotz, are you signing up for the Red Wings job right now, knowing that in all likelihood in the next couple of years, you're probably not going to be in a place where you're a Stanley Cup contender? I mean, you got to get back to the playoffs first, right, if you're the Red Wings. So are you, at his age, at 59, are you willing to go through that, maybe a 3 or 4 year cycle again?
If the Preds hired Barry Trotz for whatever the title would be, some sort of support position for David Poile, would that take some heat off David Poile?
I don't know. That's an interesting question, because
if you're a Preds fan, then you don't necessarily want to start completely over, right? Now you have maybe who you want to be your GM in the pipeline. So now it's like, okay, when Poile retires, now it'll be Trotz.
Well, let me ask you.
You don't know if that'll be great, but you know Barry Trotz.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say they start 2-4 next year, and Barry Trotz is in the front office. You know how many texts we're going to get on our text line? Well, all right, it's time for Barry Trotz to come down and be the coach. That management lasted 6 games. Get out there behind the bench.
Well, yeah, that's true. The Trotz, now he needs to be the coach thing is that too, right? Well, that's interesting too, like with Crispy. One thing that I hadn't even thought about, but in those early days when they were trying to get him to be the broadcaster, one of their reasons they were hesitant, Terry and Sheila, was because they didn't want it to look like he was hovering over Barry Trotz's shoulder, because Barry Trotz is this new unproven coach, right?
Yeah.
And Crispy didn't want it to look like he's like the guy waiting for the next coaching job, which is interesting. So you do think about things like that. But yeah, you're right. People will be all over that.
We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Barry Trotz potentially as a member of Preds front office and Preds management as they move forward here. 615-737-1025. Also, we'll get into Bill Haslam's ownership of the Preds and what that could mean for the team as they move forward, both in the short and long term. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
David, you mentioned Barry Trotz. There's been some thoughts that maybe he would look at more of a front office type role and not as much coaching. Would you consider maybe bringing him in? I know when he left, there was a thought of he was offered something. Is that something that could be on the table?
Well, the last I looked, and you know as much as I know, is that I believe he's already had one interview as a coach, and I believe he's going to have 5 or 6 more interviews. And so I think it's irrelevant to talk about until Barry doesn't want to be a coach. As far as I know, he wants to be a coach.
David, would you consider bringing somebody in that's from the outside to kind of help you look at things?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always looking for new ideas. My management staff goes over this all the time with Kurt Fritsch and Sean. We go over this all the time. I think our hockey office is in a good place, but could it be better? Could it be bigger? Or, you know, in comparison to other teams, and I have some ideas on that. I think you're always looking for the right, you know, the right person in that. I mean, you know, I don't know how close you follow, you know, all of the things, but you know, we've made, let's say on the scouting front, which is, first of all, AA haven't provided our scouts with that ability to have that one good draft because we traded away a lot of picks, but we've changed our scouting a fair bit in the last 2 or 3 years, and I think we've really got good staffs, and I think we've had substantial improvement there. But your question is not only good, but it's right. And we're certainly looking to do different things. I want to talk to John and have talked to John about a couple of ideas. We're under Scott Nichol, we're growing our development staff, and those guys are fabulous. Our analytics department has done a great job. There's just lots of things that are happening in this game, really fast. And that was my long answer to say, yes, I'm looking to improve our organization.
That was David Poile last month talking about the potential additions to the staff for the Predators this offseason in terms of management. Now, the first part of that from Chase McCabe. At the time, it was a couple weeks after Barry Trotz was let go from the Islanders, and he was getting interviewed left and right, which, by the way, I did misspeak a minute ago. Vegas' job is no longer open. Bruce Cassidy hired by Vegas. So he's to Vegas. Looks like Peter DeBoer is going to be with Dallas. That's not official yet, but looking like that may happen today for the Dallas Stars. So
Musical chairs, move them around.
Yeah, there's some of that. There are some jobs that are about to be spoken for in the NHL. So some options dwindling for Barry Trotz at the head coaching part of it. But David Poile saying maybe that conversation's a little irrelevant until Barry Trotz determines that he wants to be out of coaching. Now, it is interesting LeBron had that report over the weekend. Like, I've always thought that one day Barry Trotz would be back here and he would be in a management role of some degree. Now, I don't know if I thought it would be as general manager, but I thought he'd do something with the Predators in their front office. Maybe that time is now. Like, to me, he's obviously still a really good coach. It still baffles me that the Islanders did what they did, but that's what they did, so the Islanders, we'll see how they respond to that. But like, I still think if Barry Trotz wanted to coach another 6 years, he could probably coach another 6 years. Like, he could do a really good job. So that's totally up to him at this point. It's interesting to think about what sort of a role he would serve in here. And after hearing Poile's answer there, like getting ideas from the outside, I think that could be a good thing for the Predators. And I know maybe you don't think of Barry Trotz as a quote-unquote outsider, but he has now been at two completely different places. It's not a bad idea.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's got a whole bunch more experience and just a different view from being in those different places. Like you said earlier, he's got a good feel for obviously the league and for players in the league right now. It's never bad to add a smart person. That's the thing. If you can add someone and you don't have like an ego situation. It's just adding, again, it's kind of like Jim Schwartz last year. Whatever credit he should get or whatever he really contributed, it's another smart guy who has a ton of experience, who's had a high level of success in the given league. So that's good, as long as it's not actually like a planned coup, which, of course, it never was. It's interesting on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Some people are talking about how Robert Nashville said maybe he wants Crispy's gig. I don't think that's.
He'd be good at it.
I'm sure he'd be good at it, but I think that might be the next thing.
Yeah.
Garrison said this feels like Fulmer as a AD situation at UT. That does not feel that way to me. Barry Trotz is someone in high demand. Philip Fulmer was not in demand. He was around Tennessee, was doing stuff with Tennessee, is always going to be a legend at Tennessee. That was a disastrous situation that they tried to save with him as a short-term Band-Aid. Barry Trotz coming in here, to me, would be this could be the GM. He's 59 years old. This could be the next GM for a stretch.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, that's not like the Fulmer situation.
What are your thoughts on Bill Haslam and his ownership of the Preds? Looks like the sale is continuing to go through. He's going to be a minority owner here in the short term, and then long term will be a majority owner of the Predators with their ownership group. Like, I look at this situation, and I saw some reaction to it yesterday when I got back plugged into the world. It seems like people think like this is some big deal in the short term. I don't really think it is. Like, short term, I don't think this changes a whole lot for the Predators. Long term, to me, you've got a guy that obviously has roots to Tennessee, being a former governor of Tennessee. To me, if anything else, like, I don't think the Predators were ever really in danger of moving anyway, but to me, this kind of solidifies that the Predators are here. They're going to be here to stay, and it never hurts to have a guy that is worth billions of dollars as a part of your ownership group if you're any team, especially an NHL team.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just look at it like the primary impact is long-term if things go poorly for a while. Like, you've got more financial backing if you're struggling and you don't have – if your majority owner wouldn't have any reason to want to move you, and why would he? He's got. It's just good to add a Tennessee billionaire to your group. Now, I feel like the reporting on this has been a little bit. I think people are always in the mindset of who owns the team. Well, now Bill Haslam owns the team, and I think even the initial reporting from Sportico was a little bit misleading. I mean, you know, kudos to them for breaking the story, but it was a little bit misdelivered. Although I guess maybe once Bill Haslam becomes majority owner, could it be more like an out front situation with him? I suppose it could be. But again, unless the decision making process is going to change from what I understand it to be right now, then it's still an ownership group.
Yeah.
So you're adding a ton of money. And someone who is very rooted in Tennessee to that group, that's a good thing to me.
Now, I will say, I think he's going to bring a strong voice to the table. And I do wonder, you know, I said this earlier in the show, the Predators, and some people love this about the Predators, some people don't like this about the Predators. They have been incredibly patient as an organization. They've had three head coaches in the history of their franchise that spans almost 25 years, and they've had one general manager. So you're talking about the two most recognizable positions in sports outside of your players as general manager and head coach, they had four people in 25 years. It's pretty unbelievable. Like that doesn't happen very often. I do wonder, with a Haslam coming in, if more, you know, seats at the ownership group table start to change, does that approach change? Because it's pretty much, whether it's the ownership group that's there now or whether it was Craig Leopold back in the day, like they've had the same approach. They've been very, very patient. Does that continue to be the case with some newer voices coming in? I don't know. It's an interesting question to me.
Haslam going to go all Jerry Jones on everybody? Is this what you're trying to say?
Could be.
Fire everybody.
We're out.
Jared, you're in. You're the GM. Hey. GM coach.
Jimmy has not been afraid to fire people in Cleveland.
That is true. I did really.
Bill and Jimmy are not the same person, by the way.
Yeah, that. A lot of that out there. A lot of the, oh, my gosh, with what he's done in Cleveland, this is a terrible move, Preds. Like, no, different Haslam. And this is how we got into the whole father, son, or relatives playing sports. They aren't necessarily the same exact person either. Like, I'm pretty different from my brother, I can tell you that. Great guy. Just saying, we're just, you know, we're just different people.
But you and Brennan are the same people, same person.
There's some of that.
This is not the day to say that to me right now, Michelle. We don't have time to get into that. I did want to get real quick to an unnamed person on the text line who doesn't want name mentioned. Works at Bridgestone and Nissan as a bartender. Plenty of us work these events. It's our job to make ends meet. Some seasons, events are few and far between. Our job is to know our customers, what they order. Tips are important. Help us make a decent living, whether it's popping a tab or mixing you a drink. Fast food restaurant workers make $15 or more an hour, for far more than any bartender out there as base pay. I don't know that that's true across the board, but point being, yeah, of course, tipping, I think, for like bartenders, servers, hugely important.
Yeah.
Will Bill Haslam come in and change that?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Will you not be allowed to make tips anymore? We don't know for sure that he won't. Right?
We'll see what happens.
Maybe he's like Steve Buscemi in Reservoir Dogs. We don't know.
94.9 The Fan has launched today. Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, Outkick 360 coming up later this afternoon as well. So make sure you check out 94.9 The Fan, Nashville's newest sports talk radio station. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland. We'll get his thoughts on Barry Trotz as a potential management partner with the Nashville Predators, and all things Predators coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.